Going to continue in the lesson that we started last week, and I was asked because we have some that are in the nursery and then downstairs that wanted to hear this Sunday school. We haven't always recorded our Sunday school, but I said we will record it. And then last week we had a computer problem and a glitch, and Brother TJ wasn't used to recording this hour, and so he's recording now. Praise the Lord! And so we're going to kind of start over. We need to do a review anyway because we didn't finish this lesson, but we will finish this lesson today, and so we probably just won't spend as much time on some of the points, but if you have your copy of your lesson from last week, I hope you have that to finish it, and then if you didn't get one, we had some more in the back, and you can get one of those, and you can follow along with us. We started in Proverbs in chapter number 4 and verse number 23. Proverbs in chapter 4 and verse number 23, you can turn there with me if you would, and we understand the scriptural teaching that the heart is the control center for life. And we're looking at shepherding a child's heart, and we want to get to the heart of the behavior is the title of this lesson. And we start by understanding where things come from, and they all come from the heart. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, it says this: "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." When we are considering the ideas of those words, that we are to keep our heart with all diligence. The word diligence is to guard, even in a sense of prison, that it's locked up, that it's barricaded, that no one's getting in or out. That's the idea. That's part of the definition of diligence, is that that it's someone is standing guard over it, and that it is in great protection, or it's not going to get unleashed to go and do its own will. And you say, well, I just think we ought to have a opportunity to go out and sow our wild oats and go and live it up how we, and listen to me. There's a testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony could be shared with that kind of foolish philosophy. It does not do any child, it doesn't do any human being good to just go out and live life how they want, live it up and have a good time, and everything's just going to turn out all okay. That's fine. Not saying that everybody that has gone that way has found themselves in a life of debauchery and sin and wickedness and horrible conditions later on. But listen to me. There's enough good testimonies to you're winning the lottery if you don't. I mean, honestly, if you think you can just go out and you can live how you want and you can let your kids live how they want, and you're not going to put any restrictions on them, and you're not going to be, helping to guard them, then listen to me, you're opening them up to all sorts of different possibilities in life that could be very damaging. And so the instruction would be to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's not saying that life has a lot of issues, all right? So, or you could look at somebody and go, you got issues, friend. But it's talking about the things that come out of your heart, the things that flow from it, as if flowing water would come. We know a little bit about that with the flooding that's taking place right now. But issue means to have an exit or a source or a going forth or an outgoing. And so we get kind of a picture here with this verse that your heart is a well from which the issues of life gush forth. These are not things that are happening to you. These are things that are coming from you. The issues that you have, the things that are issuing out from you, they come from within. They come from the heart, or they come from the control center, if you will, at life. We're going to hear that over and over in this series. And the behavior of a person exhibits is an expression of the overflow of the heart. The behavior a person exhibits is an expression of the expression of the overflow of the heart. So what one says and what one does is going to be an expression of what is already within their heart. Someone gets angry and starts throwing fists and starts throwing chairs and puts holes in walls. And guess what? They just snapped. I mean, here they're walking down the road and nobody even said anything to them. Nobody did anything. They just snapped. They went went nuts and they went crazy. No, no, they didn't. There was something already from within that had taken place. There had been some internalization that had happened, and it didn't just come out of outside sources. It flowed from directly right in here where the heart is. You say something and do something that would be wrong or misbehavior. Listen to me. It's not misbehavior because of everybody around you. You say, well, everybody else was misbehaving and they called me the name first, right? We're talking about children. I was just responding to how they treated me. That's a very childish view of life. I was just a response. They threw the toy at me first. I threw it back. And that's how it happened. And that seems justifiable in the mind of a child. And sadly, most adults today are very childish in their approach to life, right? And so thus we have adults that act like babies and think that everybody else has the problem. They're never the problem. And one thing I sad have to remind adults sometimes, that if everyone else is the problem, you have a problem. It's not everybody else. I mean, it's not saying that they don't have problems, but if you have a problem with everybody, then it just might stand to reason that you might want to consider yourself first. And so when we're talking about what we say and how we behave ourselves, we're talking about where that comes from. Number one, the heart determines behavior. The heart determines behavior. What we say and do expresses the orientation of your heart. What your heart is pointed to, directed to, given to, that those things come out. They have been put there. They have been placed there. They've been allowed there by you, and they come out of you. That doesn't mean that everything bad that happens to you, don't take me to say this, everything bad that's ever happened to you in life is your fault. That's not your fault what happens to you, but it is your fault how you handle it. You can't control what other people's sins are. You can't control what other people do. But you do have control with how you handle the things that happen to you. You very much determine that. And I'm not trying to just be motivational speaker here this morning and give some motivational rhetoric. I'm telling you that bad things happen, and I have to determine the behavior that's going to come from them. If I'm going to dwell on the person that did me wrong, I'm probably going to find myself angry, and I'm probably going to find myself bitter, and I'm probably going to find myself in a place to where that bitterness and that anger is going to come out towards other people, probably those whom I love the most. That's probably where it's going to come out of. But I'm telling you, it flows from within, because those things that are within are not right. The things within the heart. Mark in chapter 7. If you go over there, Mark 7. And I know, again, this is a little more in-depth review than we normally would. But again, I want to get this recording done for those who cannot be. We have people that are working that cannot be in the room. Mark 7, verse 21 through 23. It says this: "From within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man." It's those things that are issuing from your life that provide a defilement. What a child says and does reflects their heart. That's that next blank, C. What a child says and does reflects what is in their heart. In Luke, in chapter number 6, Luke 6 and verse number 45, it says this. It says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Again, we're looking at what we say and do, and we're understanding that it is central to the heart of man and what is already there, what we've allowed to be there. D is this: don't get sidetracked with behavior. Don't get sidetracked with behavior. So many times we can look and we can at behavior of a child. We can look at what they're doing, and we're going to discipline, and we're going to focus in on the behavior. They lied, and so I'm just going to wash their mouth out with soap, and they're going to know they aren't supposed to lie, or they aren't going to say that dirty word. And that is correcting behavior. And my mom washed my mouth out with soap at least twice, all right? But listen to me. Just washing the mouth out with soap didn't clean the heart. And that's going to take more work, and that's going to take more effort, and that's going to take something we call communication and conversation. That you're actually going to have to talk to a child, and you say, "Well, I don't have children in the home anymore. I know all your grandchildren are little angels, right? And they would never lie to you." Ever. No. Listen to me. If you have grandchildren or children, you're dealing with the issues of heart, or you should be dealing with the issues of the heart with them. It's not about that they did wrong and I'm just sending them back to mom and dad's house. No. You have opportunity to help to deal with those issues as well and get to why would we lie? What would you tell grandma a lie for? Grandma does nothing but good for you. I bake you cookies. I buy you what you want. I take you where you want. And everything's good at grandma's house. But my kids still get in trouble at grandma's house, it seems like. So you can't put a kid in the perfect environment where they get everything they want and then expect that they're going to act perfectly. That's not true. Why? Because they already had issues of the heart that needed to be dealt with. And it's not just a behavioral issue, although behavior must needs be dealt with. It is a heart issue that needs to be addressed. That's why some people get upset when you say, "Well, aren't you going to just bring the hammer down on them?" I mean, we look at life, and if we just bring the hammer down on people, then we'd get things changed. I do believe that if there are not consequences, it's going to make it harder to affect behavior. I believe that. I think one of the problems in our society today is because people understand that there's not going to be harsh consequences for the crimes they commit and for the things they do. So I do believe there's a place for behavioral correction. But if we're not going to address the heart, all we're addressing is behavior, we are never going to see a change in action. We're going to repeat the same thing over and over and over again. And it might get that they become like a lab rat and they stop, just shocking themselves so they can get that pellet. But as soon as, listen to me, as soon as that rat realizes that their shock's gone, they're just going to go and get a pellet anytime they want. And so if it's just a matter of me as a parent providing that discipline every time they do wrong without correcting the heart, then listen, once I'm gone and there's no shock for them to receive at the time when they do that, which they want to do, then guess what? There's going to be nothing restraining them. There's going to be no control there whatsoever. And that's a societal problem that we're dealing with today. The problem is this. Your child's needs are far more profound. This is number one under D4.1. All right. Here, your child's needs are far more profound than his wrong behavior. It's far more profound. There needs to be a desire to sit down and to address heart. And that happens with, say, well, I have to spend hours and hours of conversation with my child talking about what they did done. No, but there does need to be times of conversation where we sit down. We need to discuss this. We need to talk about this. We need to have understanding of what God's word says. And you understand where this behavior is going and what this behavior leads to. His behavior does not just spring forth uncaused. It has a source. It always has a source. It will have a source. The things he, she says and does reflect his or her heart. If you really want to help them, you must be concerned with the attitudes of the heart that drive their behavior. You realize with me, sometimes my children and your children as well, any child, can do the right thing. They can do even a right behavior, but they can have a wrong spirit in it, can't they? You heard about the boy that was told to sit down and told to sit down and told to sit down, and finally his parents came over and they swatted his rear end and said, "You will sit down." And so he sat down and she says, "Good." And so mom looks over him again and says, "Good job. Thank you for sitting down." He said, "Well, I'm standing on the inside." Right? So there's a spirit problem there. There's a spirit problem there. Understand with me, just because they're getting right behavior that I want and I'm not being embarrassed by my child and my child is doing what I want doesn't mean that they're doing things right. Doesn't mean that at all. There could be a right behavior without a right spirit or a right attitude, and that has to be addressed. That has to be corrected. That needs to be molded and guided. Look at the note. Don't take me to say that correction, I've already mentioned this, but I want to just go ahead and read this note, that correction and bad behavior is not, and bad behavior is, don't take me to be saying that correction for bad behavior is not needed. We are not throwing out God's word when we approach correction. A child should learn to be held accountable for his behavior, and there are consequences to bad behavior. Proverbs 3:12 and 3:14. Listen, I'm not going to take time to go to those verses this morning. You can look them up on your own. We looked at them last week, but they talk about corporal punishment. That's okay to go ahead and spank a child. We need to do it appropriately. You should never leave a mark on a child. You should never use that as an abuse. It is a corrective tool that God gives. And in fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:12 that it's a matter of me loving my child. So, "Oh, you could never spank my precious little baby." Then what you're telling me is this, that according to the Word of God, that your love for your feelings are more important than your love for your child. Because spanking them makes you feel bad, disciplining them makes you feel bad, and so therefore you don't want them to feel bad, so you don't feel bad, and so you don't go ahead and practice. I'm telling you, my parents loved me so much. I mean, all the time. They loved me. And listen to me, it didn't cause me or my siblings to turn out weird or funny or hate God or run from God just because we got spankings. No, in fact, quite the opposite. I'm telling you, when discipline is done properly, when spanking is done properly, it gets the design that God intended it to have. It will get the design it's intended to have. That doesn't mean that you'd always do it properly, but it does get the design it's intended for. Number two, a change in behavior. A change in behavior. A change in behavior must stem from a change in heart. Change in behavior must stem from a change in heart. Number one, don't fear, not fear of mom and dad. That's not what we want to drive a change in behavior. Man, I know mom's going to, she's going to wig out when she finds out. I mean, dad's going to go nuts. He's going to yell and scream. That shouldn't cause our children to change behavior. That's not what should drive a change in behavior. Not forced conduct. You will do what I said to do. Now, I'm not saying this. We when we get out of the car sometimes to go in the store, we give a lecture. Listen. We are not going to run the aisles like wild banshees. We are not going to ask mom for everything under the sun. I'm not saying that there isn't conversations that don't go on like that in the home or should go on like that in the home and a reminder that's given. But it shouldn't be that I'm having to grab that child by the neck and threaten them. You're going to threaten a child? That's not right behavior on your part. You shouldn't have to threaten a child, but there is an instruction that can be given, and there should be instruction that is given and provided. So it shouldn't be fear of dad and mom. It shouldn't be forced conduct. Sadly, many times parents are content just to get right behavior and their attention to the child's problem ends there. I got what I wanted, so I'm good. I threatened them and they straightened it up, and so nothing needs to be addressed after that. And that's just not the case. There do needs to be things that are addressed after that. There are times when I'll spank my child for wrong behavior, but I should never end there. There should not just be a forgetfulness of the things that have taken place. just because behavior has been corrected. Our goal should be to have children that want to do right because it's right, not because they feel threatened. That should be our goal. Man, I want to do right because it's right. Why do you do right? Well, because I'm just fearful that God is going to send down lightning from heaven and kill me. That's not God. That's not our loving Heavenly Father. In fact, you step out of line all the time. You say, not me. Yeah, you do, you liar. You step out of line all the time. Even listen, in your spirit, in your head, sometimes you do, most time you do, even though your behavior's right, and your God still loves you. And so we need to have this understanding that we need to be seeking to teach them to do right because it's right to do. B, simply demanding or disciplining a change in behavior doesn't ever change heart. Demanding or disciplining doesn't change heart. Number one, the nation of Israel could behave by going through the motions of keeping the law, but their heart, you read the Old Testament or get into the New Testament, you'll find this. Even though they might have gone through the motions of keeping the law, their heart was still not to please God. They didn't have a heart for the things of God. They didn't have a heart to glorify God. Matthew in chapter number 15, if you look over there, Matthew in chapter number 15. Matthew 15. And verse number 18, it says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Oh, I'm sorry, that's wrong. I think I want to Matthew 7 or Mark 7. Let me go over there. Mark 7. Says in verse number 5, then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So God was seeing, he said, listen, you're trying to say the right thing. You act like you do the right thing. But from within, what really matters is you don't really have a heart for me at all. Jesus censures them as people who wash the outside of a cup while the inside is still dirty. The inside hasn't been taken care of. They think we're doing all the right things. Sadly, even many times, in a good independent Baptist church, we can get somebody looking the way we want them to look. Man, they put on a tie to come to church, and they got a hair combed, and they got this, and they got that. And understand with me, and we've neglected the most important parts. And that's that they have to grow in the Lord. They have to be obedient to the Spirit of God. You can be obedient to me all day long. It does not change your heart before God just to do everything the preacher says. Now, I hope I would guide you in the Word of God that we say, hey, listen, this is in the Word of God. This is what God would want from you. This is what God would desire for you. But if you're just doing it to please me, you're missing the point of why we would even look to the Word of God to find what we should do. We look to the Word of God to find what we should do because we want to do right before God. Period. If we're right, if I'm right with God and you're right with God, guess what? We got a lot of right people before God. And then we get to stand right before God. You're not going to stand before God and get to point at me and say, well, the preacher said that I was supposed to do this, or he never told me that I wasn't supposed to do that. Guess what? You're going to stand before God on your own. I'll give an account for that. No, I'll give an account of my job and my role. I'm not saying that, but you're going to give an account for yourself, and you're not going to be able to blame me or your husband or your wife or your kids. They're going to give an account for themselves before God. And we demand changed behavior, and we never address their heart that drives the behavior. We simply content to raise hypocritical children who one day will grow weary of acting the part we demand they play. When I don't have to listen to you, I'm not going to listen to you. Or when I get out on my own, I'm going to do. And when I raise my children that are yet to be seen, you know, I'm going to do it different. I'm not going to do it like mom and dad. I'm going to do it right. And I've told you time and again, the older I get, and the older my kids get, the smarter my parents are. I mean, they just get so smart every day. I mean, it's a miracle how unintelligent they were when I was growing up, right? And they get smarter all the time. But understand, we want behavior that's going to be right in the absence of someone demanding it be right. What do we call that? One simple word. Don't everybody jump at it at first. When somebody does right without anybody watching what they're doing, what do we call that? Character. We call that character. That individual has character, or they don't have character. I mean, if you go to work and you do your job without anybody demanding you do it, understand with me, then without the boss having to watch you, then on your review they're going to announce to you, man, it's great they have a good work ethic and character. We have that sadly not being taught into our children and trained into our children in the day we live in. Number three, asking the right questions. Asking the right questions. How, number one, did my child's heart stray to produce this behavior? This is something that a lot of times we have to answer as teenagers. Because, man, they've been doing so good and then they hit 12. And, well, what happened to my sweet, innocent just little child? Well, they're growing up, okay? And we got to stop sometimes as parents and admit how they got there, because we've been a part of the training process, haven't we? Smiling, they didn't just get there without any input or lack of input on your part. They got where they are for some reason, and it's my job to make sure that I'm watching and paying attention, communicating and being involved to make sure that we're guiding their heart in a right direction. You say, well, there's external circumstances. That might be the case, that there are external circumstances, and many times there are external circumstances that might be outside of your control. But listen to me, don't you let that be the excuse for you not trying to get their heart turned towards God. Don't let some external circumstance be the reason why you can just throw your hands up and not have to be responsible for where they're going. So something bad happened, something took place. You still have a responsibility, and your goal is still the same, that I'm going to make sure that they have a heart turned towards God. So what? Dad doesn't do his job. Mom hasn't done her job. Something else has happened. You have a job to turn their heart to God. You have a goal for that. So how did your child's heart stray from you? Second, in what characteristic ways... has their inability or refusal to know, trust, and obey God's results in actions and speech that are wrong? So what are the characteristics? They are not obeying God in this way and in that way. And then have we made them aware of that? You understand that this is against God. That what you're doing, the way you're acting, the way you're speaking, the way you're behaving, is against the will of God. And listen, bring them to Scripture. Let them know the Scripture. I'm going to read this again, and I'm doing bad on time. I thought I'd speed up a little bit today, but you guys listen slow. But let me read this as an example for us. There we go, blame shifting. It's always better to blame someone else. Just as an example for us to understand the difference in correcting behavior and getting to the heart of an issue. Okay, let me read this as an example. I read this last week, but I want to read it again. It says, now you have two, I'm sorry. All right, let's take a familiar example. This is from the book Shepherding a Child's Heart. Let's take a familiar example from any home where two or more children. The children are playing, and a fight breaks out. Over a particular toy. The classic response, and I had a couple moms come up to me last week and go, "That's exactly how I dealt with that." The classic response is, "Who had the toy first?" This response misses the heart issue. Who had it first is an issue of justice. Justice operates in favor of the child who was quicker to the draw in getting the toy. If we look at the situation in terms of heart, the issue changes. Now you have two offenders. Both children are displaying a hardness of heart toward the other. Both are being selfish. Both children are saying, "I don't care about you and your happiness. I am only concerned about myself. I want this toy. My happiness depends on possessing it. I will have it and be happy regardless of what that means to you." In terms of issue of the heart, you have two sinning children. Two children are preferring themselves before others. Two children are breaking God's law. Sure, the circumstances are different. One is taking the toy that the other has. The other is keeping the advantage. The circumstances are different, but the heart issue is the same. I want my happiness at your expense. Do you see that? The heart issue is the same, and therefore we need to deal with the issue of the heart and the things that are coming from the heart. Discipline, number four, must address the attitude of the heart. Discipline must address the attitude of the heart. A, your concern in discipline should be what happens in your child's heart, not just what you are what they are doing, but why are they doing it. It's not just that they were mean. It's not just that they were cruel. It's not just that they were selfish. Why are they doing that? You know the greatest place to start examining why a child does what they do? It's looking in the mirror. Are they just mimicking the actions of mom and dad? Are they simply just doing what we're doing? Are they responding how I respond? Are they acting how I act? Come on, honestly. Next time you're disciplining your children, consider that for yourself. Maybe dad and mom need to change their behavior. I know that's just a far out crazy idea. It is. But maybe it's dad and mom who need to have some kind of corrective action take place in their life and discipline themselves. Addressing their heart. C, unmasks your child's sin. It unmasks your child's sin. It helps them to understand how it reflects a heart that has strayed. Listen, this, you didn't just do this and break mom and dad's rule. You've sinned against God. You're breaking God's rules. Can somebody go down and make sure, Brother Jeremiah, can you go make sure Miss Elizabeth knows Miss Susan is here? Because she was unaware that she was coming. Thank you. All right. It helps us to understand and reflects where they have strayed. It leads them to the cross of Christ. Listen, you might have sinned against mom and dad. You might have broken our rule. Might have sinned against your brother and hit him in the face and broke his toy and all these kind of things. But ultimately, you've sinned against God. You're going to have to give an account before the Lord. Underscore the need for the Savior. It proves, number five, it proves opportunity to show the glories of God who sent his son to change their heart and to free people enslaved to sin. You say, well, kids don't really get into that kind of stuff. Kids just aren't interested. I had to talk to my 12-year-old boy this morning about the great white throne judgment. Not because I brought it up, because he brought it up. What's the difference between the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment? At 12 years old, listen to me, he's asking questions, and if taught, can comprehend the concepts and the scriptures and the teachings and an understanding of it. He can, if I'll take time to teach him, and I'll take time to talk to him, and I'll take time to answer his questions. communication. It keeps you from ranting and raving like a lunatic. That's an important one. Highlight that one. It keeps you from ranting and raving as a lunatic. I think one of the greatest things my parents did for me is it wasn't that they got angry every time I asked a question. Now, it's not that they never did get angry, because I asked a lot of crazy, not dumb questions, but childish questions. But understand, when it came down to, well, why do we do it that way, Dad? Well, Dad would sit down and talk to us about why we did it that way. It wasn't about just like, oh, I'm Dad, and that's what I said, and I'm always right. Now, at the end of the day, that was the end of the conversation. You're our Dad, so you win, But there was always an explanation, even if it wasn't what I wanted to hear. Even if it wasn't the reasoning I wanted or the explanation I wanted, I'm telling you, my mom and dad were very good at sitting me and my siblings down and saying, okay, you want to know why? This is why. It wasn't just because I said so, so you better be in lockstep behind what we're doing and never step out of line. And no. There was correction of behavior. There was instruction of why behavior was wrong. And there was time to answer questions about wrong behavior. B, you must learn to work from the behavior you see. You must learn to work from the behavior you see. Number one, back to the heart. Back to the heart. Number two, exposing heart issues for your child. You're selfish. That's the problem. Why are we acting selfishly? And we address those. We don't just say, well, you're selfish, spanking. Now we're moving on with life. No. Why are you so selfish? Do you not realize all the blessings you have? Do you not realize what your mother's done for you? Do you not realize what your siblings are doing for you? I'm telling you, and helping them to understand and realize all the blessings they have. You understand this society we live in where everybody's demanding that, man, I have free health care and I have free housing and I have free this and I have free that and I'm entitled because I'm an American? You understand where that came from? It came from a bunch of selfish children who were never taught that they are not entitled to everything they want just because they want it. It's where that entire mentality came from. You realize my dad taught me, you want something, get out there and work. And we didn't get an allowance either. I came home from work and guess what Dad expected from us? Well, now you can work here. Now you go clean up after the dogs and the dog pen, and now you can clean the garage, and now you can shovel chicken stuff. And you say, well, I've been working all day. Okay, good. Now, he didn't care. He had expectations, and he was exposing heart issues. Number three, helping them to see and understand why they are acting the way they are and what is wrong with their behavior. When we work from the behavior back to the heart, we're helping them to understand and see their bad behavior, their poor behavior. E is this: you must learn to engage them, not just reprove them. I'm not saying we don't reprove. We reprove, but we also have to take time as well to engage and to make sure that we've corrected behavior. Look at the conclusion quickly. Raising children doesn't have to make you pull your hair out. It doesn't. It wasn't designed of God to create male pattern baldness. That's not what raising children was designed for. It is not what it's given for. Teenagers as well. I know there's no way. Teenagers can be a blessing to a home instead of a curse. They can be. It's possible. It's going to take great effort on your part. They can be a blessing though. But we have to start by addressing the behavior of your children from a heart perspective. We can't just look at bad behavior and yell and scream all the time. We have to start addressing a heart perspective. Our goal is not to just raise children that don't embarrass us. We should want to raise children that love God. This means using our words toward the heart of a child as God uses His words towards ours. Look at Hebrews and we'll be done. Hebrews in chapter 4. in verse number 12. Hebrews 4, 12. Well, I'll get there. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents." Where's God trying to get with all this preaching and reading my Bible and everything? "To the thoughts and intents of" where? What's your Bible say? Of the heart. You realize God's main desire for you is to reach your heart and to change your heart and is directed at your heart. You say, "Well, that's hard. That's going to take, man, that's going to be difficult. It's going to take time." It will take time. It will. "Well, it's going to take a lot of wisdom." It will take a lot of wisdom, but not yours, God's. "And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of" who? "God, who giveth to all men liberally." James 1:5. God has the, I'm telling you, God has the wisdom and God has an ability to help you reach your child's heart if you'll take time and you'll make effort of reaching your child's heart. All right? Let's have our heads bowed, our eyes closed. We'll get over and enjoy some coffee and refreshments. Dear God, thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your word. Lord, would you help us this morning? And God, would you just, Lord, help us to have our heart turned towards you, that we might be able to turn others' hearts towards you. Lord, help us not to be hypocrites, just trying to dress up everything on the outside. God, I pray that you just help us that we would have a heart desire that we might be able to bring glory to you, that we would do right because it's right to do, and that we'd be able to train our children to do right because it's right to do. God, thank you so much for your love. Bless us as we go into the next hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go and enjoy.